I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello High Rollers is an adventure set in D&D hell, so will almost certainly contain adult content. Enjoy.
What the hell are you talking about? You're loyal to Henley Whispers?
He is my god, my savior, my muse!
You are my car! You're loyal to me, and you will do what I say!
Henley, I love you.
I'm gonna make the happy boys pay. No one messes with... What the hell? Is that a hamster ball? What do you want with the happy boys? Revenge. I think I can help with that.
Hello! And welcome to the next episode of Hell or High Rollers! Yay! Hi, I'm Dave Hearn, and each episode I'm increasingly sounding more like someone who operates dodgems at a fairground. I am your GM for today, and I'm very excited, as I am with all episodes. So let's go around and introduce ourselves. Adam Megiddo, let's start with you.
That's me, Adam Megiddo, and I play the role of Eric Sanguinius, the human necromancer who lives alone in the high-vis tower in the Rodney Marsh. We've recently been discussing Eric's flat hands, that he lacks an arch, a natural arch in the hand area, and so he's got flat hands. But I'm afraid to say that this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of Eric's medical conditions.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He also suffers from ancestral dendrophobia.
Wow.
Dendrophobia being a fear of trees.
Yeah.
So ancestrally, he has a fear of family trees.
That
bit where he says he sees a line connecting him to someone else's family just
finds it overwhelming.
Wow.
Yeah, brings him out of a cold sweat.
Oh, wow.
There'll be more.
Quite an easy thing to avoid, though, no?
Well,
I've never come across a family tree in the wild.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Chris Leask, and I play the character of Glubrick Bumbledung, a barbarian Goliath. So, Glubrick once, when he was alive, once stole all the ink from all the quill ink, that is, from all the houses in his hometown. Not just because he enjoyed the taste of it, but also so he could help improve his business, which was called Glubrick's Auto Ink Quill, which was basically just basically a Bic pen. So it was just like automatic.
He made a biro.
I mean, that's amazing.
He made a biro. It's incredible.
In the fantasy world of D&D, to have created a biro is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. He had a moment of like, yeah, it was like a, yeah.
But he also drank
he's
the
a
ink.
Genius. Yeah. He's still a bit dumb.
Did you know that a mouse can get through a hole the size of a Bic biro pen?
I don't believe that.
That's not true.
I don't believe that.
How?
I guess the mice have their ways. They
the snout alone, the eyeball.
Yeah,
what?
They just squish right through. They're just like a tiny little
spine. I need to see it.
That's incredible.
I have no scientific evidence to back that
up. But no, I think you are, because I've heard that cats can fit through any space that is the size of their head.
Yeah.
If they can get their head through, it's why they have their whiskers are there to be able to test the size of the thing they're going through. Yeah. But the rest of their body will guaranteed go through that hole.
Wow. This is no longer a D&D podcast. Ellie, what other facts have you got?
Oh my goodness. Hi, my name's Ellie and I play Ghoul. He's a mushroom. He's from the forest. He's 5 inches tall. And something about Ghoul is sort of inspired by Eric's writing. Ghoul has started to pen an adventure novel through his time in hell. And he's called it Gulliver's Travels.
Very good. Very good.
Like great setup. Great
that's
delivery.
Very nice.
That's Ghoul.
Sick.
Hello, I'm Henry Shields, and I play Henley Whispers, a.k.a. the Wood, the Bard, and the Smugly.
Oh my gosh, that's a good one.
Shields was not happy
there
with
that.
There
was such a delay on the line.
It's a delay because you're working out what it is.
It's so good.
And that's what everyone wants in a joke.
But yes, it is. It shows that it's clever.
Really exploring to find the fun in it.
That's how I gauge my comedy, you know.
How
big are the pauses after the punchline?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ideally, people won't laugh until couple of weeks later.
Yeah.
Human ranger, prey pouncer, fearless fighter, local counselor.
Yes, I like that one.
Henley is a founding member of the Pithy Council, is him and a very droll ferret that get together and share pithy sayings.
Advising anyone? Is this like a
no? He calls it the
council,
Pithy Council, but it is it's a play on privy council, but it doesn't do any of the things a council does. It just comes up with pithy sayings.
What's some of the?
For example, I would challenge you to a battle of wits, but I see you are unarmed.
Very good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Many age like a fine wine, but you are aging like a fine banana.
Pithy. And on that pithy note, should we begin the next episode of Hell or High Roller?
Yeah!
Now, we last left the Happy Boys. You were riding on the back of a giant, a colossus named Sansuri. Now, you learnt that this giant is the son of the previous archdevil, the Countess, and he was chained by Asmodeus and forced to burn in the baking heat for eternity. But you have freed him, along with the help of some resistance fighters still loyal to the Countess. Now, Sansuri is making his way to the finish line of the race, and he has vowed to kill Commander Go and avenge his mother and retake control of the Leia. Now, I cannot overstate how freaking big this guy is. It's the biggest thing you've ever seen, right? It's big. Whatever the biggest thing you've ever seen is, make it bigger. All right, that's what I'm looking for. I see in your eyes, Chris, you're getting it.
Yeah.
Shakespeare, take a back seat, man. You know you've got away with words. Yeah, man.
Shakespeare's like, this is big.
Yeah.
No, mate, it's bigger.
It's
big, all right?
Shakespeare, lisp Shakespeare. This is really big. It's really, really big.
Now, Sansuri is thundering across the desert plains of Malbolge, and you are gunning straight for the finish line. And as I said in the last episode, the Happy Boys are back in the race. Now, what would have taken you days, maybe even months, to travel will now take you merely minutes, and you are going to get to the finish line very, very soon.
We've nailed this.
Okay. Are we just in the ear?
Yeah, sat in the ear. Glubrick's asleep. You guys are just sat there. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Henley's made a little pillow out of earwax and he's just leaning back. And
horrid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awful.
We're in an ear. What do you do in an ear other than that?
Ghoul and Kelvis are in the corner kind of inspecting the ear canal. Hey guys, you think we could get up to the brain?
Careful, Ghoul. I'm pretty sure the giant can hear you right now.
Oh, I mean, I saw something once that if you go into somebody's brain, you can control them like a giant puppet. That might be cool.
Dark.
Not that I want to. I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah. Ghoul would like the option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric, back there on the sands, we had a little disagreement. I feel I owe you an apology for having bad-mouthed your play.
Eric has taken himself aside and has turned his back on the group and is stroking his cat together. No apology I'll say that again.
So distraught. Are you okay, Eric?
I ironically, I cannot speak properly. I cannot use my words effectively. But perhaps there is no irony in it, for I shall never write again.
Eric, no!
Yes. Eric. You were right. Your criticisms were well-founded. I have no real skill. I should leave it to the bards and should get back to what I do best, living alone in a tower surrounded by the dead.
Oh no, but Eric, we only said that because we had to break the chains.
Yes, but I must accept the truth and move on with my life. I have burned my only copy of the Mollusk's Dance. And perhaps it is for the best.
Well, if that's what you feel is best.
As this happens, Glubrick wakes up. Oh, good morning, everyone. That was a lovely nap. So did I miss anything?
We are in the ear of a colossus.
Okay. I got to be honest, I think I might have gone into an uncontrollable rage again. I don't know if you noticed that. Or...
You may have done that, yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm really sorry, guys. I feel a bit embarrassed by that. I really like fell off the wagon with that one. You know, but I'm going to try and do better, okay? Like, I admit, and I take out, like, a little coin that says, like, rage-free, and just like, throw it away.
Oh.
And I'm back to day one.
Yeah, back to day one, yeah.
With Glubrick, I think we all know that it's not your fault.
Well, you say that, but the more I've started to think about it, the more I've started to go, like, I mean, am I a good person who does bad things, or am I just a bad person who does bad things?
What is good in hell, Glubrick? Yeah. I mean, you went into an uncontrollable rage and killed a bunch of lemures, but they were lemures, fiends, creatures of hell.
It's a free pass!
It is, and it's just hard not going into like an uncontrollable rage, because I mean, the high you get off it after, my God, it feels so good. There is nothing, you've not really lived unless you've gone into an uncontrollable rage and murdered 50 people, oh. I'll tell you that. It's one hell of a high, but I know it's wrong.
That's sounding more like it's wrong.
That is wrong.
We've nailed it down, no, it's wrong. No,
it is.
I know earlier when we were unclear about what was good, I think now we're becoming a lot more clear.
And Eric, I don't think you should give up completely on writing.
No?
You have to be able...
Occasional haiku.
One must be able to take criticism along with praise.
How dare you! Turn my back and walk deeper into the air with my cat.
You hear there is a huge explosion from the ground underneath the giant, and you have just approached the base of the mountain, and from underneath the giant, the ground explodes, and from it comes a giant purple worm.
Oh.
And slams straight head first, just full, just headbutt straight into the colossus.
No.
And the colossus lurches violently to one side.
Ooh.
And Sansuri says,
"Happy boys, Commander Girl is here. Huh? This is where I leave you."
What? Oh.
Leave us here in the middle of a desert plain surrounded by purple worms?
You're at the bottom of the mountain now, so...
What, here? At the bottom of the mountain now?
So he puts his finger in his ear and he very gently takes you guys out of the ear. Ooh. And pops you down onto the floor.
We thank you, great giant of hell, for your assistance. Now, go and enact your revenge.
Yeah, I can't really talk right now. I've got a big fight. Okay, yes. Bye.
What?
And then you watch the colossus run off, and it grabs the purple worm by its neck and sort of throws it to one side. And the purple worm is still alive, but it's been tossed. It's been tossed carelessly. And you see that Commander Girl, she doesn't have the demented one anymore, but she has gained control over this purple worm and is essentially riding it through the desert.
That's very cool.
Whenever you hear the purple worm, do you think of either Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix, or do you think of Purple Rain by the artist formerly known as Prince? Or do neither of these?
Neither.
I a big purple worm.
I can't get Purple Rain out of my head.
That's the theme song of the Purple Worm.
Purple Worm.
Purple Worm. That's what I'm hearing all the time. Just need to get...
Yeah.
I need to share that so that you now are cursed by it too.
Yeah, no, I already had that curse.
I think that's our post-credits
Purple
sequence.
Worm.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
And you see the first
move of the fight. The giant slams his mighty fist down onto Commander Girl in an attempt to crush her, but his fist stops just before it hits the ground.
What?
And you can see Commander Girl with both of her hands outstretched above her head. She has caught his fist.
Wow.
And is holding it at bay.
Wow.
And Commander Girl sort of throws the Colossus's hand to one side like a boxer that sort of beats away a punch. Ooh. And the giant and the sort of teenage archdevil face off in the desert.
So, I see you've broken out of your chains. Took you long enough.
I could not have done it without the aid of these happy boys.
Throw us in it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no, just maybe leave that detail out, pal.
Oh, no, us all Colossuses are grasses.
He slams down his fist and the fight kicks off again.
One happy boys, finish the race.
We gotta go. All right, let's get moving.
We're going to run up a mountain.
Stop. So we're on foot climbing up this mountain.
I'm trying to, yeah. Maybe.
Can we see if any of the other races are there around yet? Or are we way ahead now?
We need to hijack a car, right?
We do need a car.
Well, that's a great question, Henry Shields. And so after a few seconds, you hear the swelling music of a tightly choreographed musical number.
Oh, yes.
And flying around the corner comes Old Papa Crumble and the Sailor Boys. And in hot pursuit, you can see the rest of Commander Girl's entourage, the Clay Devils. And they're in these kind of small little buggies and infernal machines, all with different kind of weapons. And behind them, in this kind of huge cloud of dust, is a team you may have all forgotten about. From the very, very first episode that I mentioned them, was Cannon Fodder. And their numbers have obviously been severely diminished. They've taken a lot of casualties throughout the race.
Who were those guys?
Just assorted demons and devils in the race.
Yeah.
And all three of these teams, they fly up the mountain path and they whip straight past you. And the ground shakes as the mighty battle between Sansuri and Commander Girl rages on. But suddenly, you hear the honk of a car horn. Your ears prick up because you recognize this honk. But it seems slightly off. The pitch is ever so slightly different. And Happy Boys, you can't believe your eyes. But trundling round the corner comes Richard the Fast. It is being driven by Sweetface the Baby Devourer.
Oh.
He has somehow managed to repair the car, and it's all like fucked up and disheveled. The side of the car no longer reads Richard the Fast, but instead reads Hard Arsed. And he's managed to cobble together the remains of your war racer. So, Chris, could I ask you to play Sweetface for me?
Yeah, absolutely, I can do that.
And the idea here is that Sweetface has, he's crashed the car, but he's managed to repair it, and I want you to try for me. Mm-hmm. He's trying to redeem himself for the Happy Boys.
Hey, fucking Anthony, bro.
Brought back hard-assed,
okay.
And he's bringing the Happy Boys back into the race.
Okay, great. So I think the car turns up and it stops, and the window just slowly comes down, and you see Doppelganger. He's like, "Did someone order a Doppelganger?"
Oh gosh,
Doppelganger!
This is exactly what we need.
Well, yeah, we kind of do. Can we get in?
Oh, what are you going to do for me?
Are you joking?
What is it that you want? What is it that you need?
Faces.
Oh,
I need faces, but I'm not going to be able to get that from you right now. But if we work together, we can do this, right?
All right, everybody pile in.
Get on in.
Okay, we jump inside hard-assed.
Very good. And so I'm just going to give you the stats. So you guys might want to write these down. So obviously your stats for Richard the Fast were pretty good.
Mm.
But everything has been halved. Because it's all been cobbled together.
It's half-assed.
Very good. So your speed is now 45 down from 91. Your HP is now 65 down from 131.
Mm-hmm.
Your armor class is 16 down from 30. And your handling DC, the roll you had to beat for your car check, has gone up from 12 to 16.
Ooh.
Okay.
This is.
I didn't write any of that down. I watched all of you
That's
write
right.
it down.
Yeah.
And I felt like a bit like the cool kid at school. Well, the car is functioning, and we do need to take it up the mountain. Yes,
we do. Henley sits in the driver's seat. Sweetface scooches over.
Uh-huh.
Sweetface, I owe you an apology. We banished you into a worm tunnel and we rejected you because you are a monster. And that hasn't changed, but you've come to us in our hour of need, and for that I thank you.
I love you too.
Oh, okay.
Well, and now you are my wife.
And I put like a little tiny crown on you. Oh, he's wearing a crown, by the way.
I'm very worried. And I floor it.
That's short before Chris totally loses his mind. Great. So you're driving away. Give me, yeah, the Happy Boys' positions in the car. What are your jobs? What are you all doing in the car?
Okay, so Ghoul and Kelvis are with the power diverter. Kelvis is kind of eyeing the cat together. Suspiciously. Just sure. getting used to each other.
Okay, okay.
A new
Kelvis, yeah.
Little pet on the scene.
Sees the cat and is just like, meow. What's Glubrick up to?
I don't know. What's the most useful
you
thing
could,
for
like,
the team?
You could like kind of jump on the roof and be ready to like defend us, maybe. Mm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or you could be on the harpoon gun or whatever. Mm.
Like, yeah, I think Glubrick really wants to prove to himself that he's not going to go into a raid. So I'm going to go on the roof, maybe on the back of the car, and I'm just getting get ready that if anyone comes at us, I'm going to try and defend.
So if anyone tries to jump aboard Richard the Fast, you will repel them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Eric?
I'll take the turret.
Take the turret, cast some spells. Okay, great. So the Happy Boys are all back in hard-assed, and you fly up the mountain, and you trundle up the mountain, let's be honest. But you are making ground, and you definitely start to catch up to Cannon Fodder. Papa Crumble and the Sailor Boys are doing quite well. They've got a pretty good car. And the Clay Devils are, you can see them in the distance attacking Papa Crumble. But also, you notice as you drive up this canyon path up this mountain, you notice huge chunks of rock start to fall as the giant falls, his head like slamming into the ground. And he gets up to his feet and you can see Commander Girl only as like a faint little kind of tiny dot, like a shadow. And it's just disappearing and reappearing and disappearing and reappearing. And she's darting all around him and just slashing him with her chains. And he's just like trying to swat her like a fly. But the battle is looking pretty even at the moment.
Glad we didn't get into a fight with her.
Yeah.
You running away and surrendering was a good option.
Was.
You would have been mullered. Right, so you catch up with Cannon Fodder, and what I'm going to do is can one person roll me initiative? So we're not going to do all four of you, we're going to do it as a team.
19.
Yeah, great roll.
Thank you for the team.
Yes. Really good roll.
Yeah. So as you approach Cannon Fodder, they rolled a natural one on their initiative. So you guys get to go first.
Okay.
Now, Cannon Fodder is like, it's a few different cars. It's not just one car. It's like lots of different small little buggies. Are you just going to try and overtake them? Yeah, whatever you want to do.
I think Cannon Fodder, they're going to be easy to kill. I think we go for them.
Yeah, let's take them out.
Okay, so how many cars are there?
There's now only three of them left. They did start, they were over 100.
Oh, wow.
And now there's only three.
What's happened to them?
They're Cannon Fodder.
All right, well, I think Ghoul's going to take on one. He's ready for a fight. He's going to jump out. Can he jump onto one of the cars?
I could pull us up next to one.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. First of all, Henley, roll me a car check.
Natural one.
Oh my
no!
God!
We are not good at these.
No,
it's
unbelievable.
Wild magic.
First roll of the episode.
Okay.
First roll of the episode. So, for the purpose of this, on the wild magic table, I'm going to say the car that you were going for would be the target, essentially.
Yeah.
So, roll me another D20.
Seven,
and now roll me a D100.
14. This is happening so often now.
We're getting so many ones on the rolls.
Okay, you are stunned
until
the start of your next turn.
Oh,
you believe
classic.
Something awesome has just happened.
Oh, wow.
Wait, so he thinks he's done something really cool?
Yeah. To the point where he stunned himself into almost like a one round of paralysis.
Yeah. Wow. My car skills.
Henley, you...
Hello.
Okay, Ghoul is going to jump out of the window and onto one of
so
like,
Ghoul, you're going to roll with
bonnet.
Disadvantage on an athletics check because Henley's
I'm just
like,
driving in straightforward, not moving any
not helped at all
not moving at all.
That was an eight.
Eight, yeah. You stumble on top of the car. You don't leave the car. You just stay on. You stay on hard ass.
Damn it!
Yeah.
Okay, are we within 10 feet of one of the cars?
I'm going to say that Henley didn't get you close enough.
Okay, well, Ghoul just looks at the car and just screams, blindness! pointing it at the driver of the car.
So you're trying to blind the driver of the nearest car, yeah?
Yep.
So that is a constitution saving throw against your spell save,
DC, which is 16,
yep.
right? And the driver gets a 14, so the driver is blind.
Oh, great.
I'm going to say they just like grab their eyes in blindness and they just veer off and they just smash into the side of the mountain, and you've knocked one of the cannon fodder cars out of the race.
One down, two to go.
Good thinking, Ghoul. We don't have to destroy the car. We just have to destroy the eyes of the driver.
Yeah, it's all about the eyes.
That's right. And I cast darkness in the cabin of one of them.
Oh, nice.
Well, fill it with darkness.
Okay, so yeah, darkness. Darkness, I believe there's no saving to it. It just works unless you have dark vision.
I think so, yeah.
Which
nice.
I'm going to say cannon fodder definitely don't have dark vision. So yeah, same thing again. You blind another driver and they veer off. And another one of the cannon fodder cars is down. There's one left.
Okay.
Doppelganger is going to shout to the driver of the car, "Which way are you turning?" And I'm going to read his thoughts. So we can work it out so we can kind of predict what they're going to do.
Okay, great. So you enter the mind of the driver of the final car. They are ahead of you, and you know that they are about to release on their turn, which is coming up, some inferno mines.
Ooh. Oh, okay, okay, okay. So I turn to Henley and I'm like, "Henley, we need to go forward. They're going to release some mines, my wife."
My wife?
I will not do anything. I'm already doing brilliantly.
I'm going to read his
doppelganger
mind as well.
You think you can tell that I think I've just done something amazing, and I'm going, I did incredibly well. You don't need anything from me.
And then Glubrick said, he comes around and goes, "Switch on, Henley. You're not doing this properly, mate. Come on,
Glubrick. I've done so brilliantly. I am stunned by my own brilliance, and I'm going to be for at least another round."
And then doppelganger turns to Glubrick and goes, "Mine's are going to be released." So can Glubrick try, and because obviously Henley's like doing his own thing, can I try and like jump onto the side of Hard Ass?
Yeah.
And like lean on it so it kind of forces it to kind of like, you know,
you can use your weight to steer it.
My weight to steer it, yeah.
Wow. Oh, so you're going to try and, just drag it out of the way of the mine.
Yeah.
You might be able to do it, because when the turn comes back round to Henley, he will be relieved of his stunness.
Okay, great.
So you're essentially assisting Henley on the move.
Yeah, basically.
Great. So what we'll say is the remaining cannon fodder car is in front of you. It pulls directly in front of Hard Arst and it releases the inferno mines. Glubrick, roll me an athletics check, and Henley, roll me a car check. Now, you would have rolled it with advantage because you've been told about the mines, but you would also roll with disadvantage because you're coming out of being stunned, so it's just a straight roll.
Okay.
14 for me.
23.
Yeah, so with Glubrick's assistance, sort of putting his feet down one side of the car and like kind of turning it, Henley is trying to, you passed your car check. You see the mines being released ahead of you.
Whoa, Glubrick, there's mines there!
And I lean over to the side and I try and pull it as hard as I can. I'm like, "Come on, down to the left!"
And I skid around the mines and I go, "Thank God for that. Glubrick, you nearly had us in trouble there."
Oh, no.
"Thank God for my incredible driving skills. On we go!"
And are you going to, tear past the cannon fodder?
Yeah.
I'd say they're pretty slow. You can, even with your shitty half car, you can still get past them.
Yeah, you know what? Let's divert power to the engines and speed away now.
Yeah, Ghoul is going to do that thing where you just have, the L on your forehead back in the rearview mirror and just be like, "Losers!"
Oh, to cannon fodder.
Yeah. "Losers!"
And so are you asking Kelvis? That seemed to be his job before.
I suppose so, yeah. Kelvis, divert power to the engines.
Power to motor. And where are you taking power from?
Let's go from HP.
Yeah.
Okay. Your speed is now 65 feet per round. So the engine roars to life and you tear past cannon fodder.
Yes.
And start making ground on Papa Crumble and the Sailor Boys. And so your HP is now down to 45.
Mm-hmm.
And your new AC is 11.
Well, that's
down from 60.
Okay.
This is a weak car now.
Weak,
but very, very fast. And above you, you see a huge fireball, a fireball of like pink lightning, as Commander Girl is just thudding an absolute salvo of flaming, burning, hot pink lightning into the Colossus. And he manages to grab her out of midair and slam her into the ground. And Henley, can you roll me a car check as rubble is released from the canyon above?
God!
While this massive fight rages overhead.
18.
Yeah, that's enough. You swerve expertly round through, weaving through huge boulders, and you catch up to Papa Crumble and the Sailor Boys and the Clay Devils.
Uh-huh.
Now, you had a deal with Papa Crumble not to attack him, and he won't attack you. Mm-hmm. But the Clay Devils have just rolled a natural 20 on their initiative.
Alrighty.
So they're going to go first, then it's going to be you, then it's going to be Papa Crumble.
Who are these Clay Devils?
The Commander Girl's personal team, right?
What kind of car are they in?
They're in lots of like loads of different little kind of like dune buggies and sort of ragtag kind of Mad Max style cars.
Okay.
So it's Glubrick, you're on the outside of the car, right?
Yeah, I'm on the roof now.
Great. So...
Why?
Your armor class is 16, right?
No, it's 18.
18. Well, they rolled a 20.
natural?
No.
Okay.
So on one of the cars, a huge kind of like cannon unfurls from the side, and it sort of like whizzes with this circle of red energy. And this beam fires out to you, and it hits you for 22 damage. And you've been hit with a soul siphon beam. And it's starting to drain the life force from you.
Oh.
So whilst you're still in the beam, every round it's going to continue to take 22 damage.
Help, please.
It's like a tractor beam for your soul. They have one more attack.
Okay.
And they're going for Richard the Fast. So on back of another one of the Clay Devil's cars, a similar looking gun to the soul siphon beam, but this one has lots of little barrels and it starts spinning real fast. And they are unleashing an infernal Gatling gun.
Yeah.
And it's a rapid-fire machine gun.
Again?
No. Is that Richard the Fast? Hard-assed.
Yeah.
And it has unleashed a hail of bullets. Each one is infused with a hellish energy. And it pierces straight into Richard the Fast, dealing 11 damage.
Okay, we can take that. 34 health left.
It is now your guy's turn.
Doppelganger's going to turn around to you guys and be like, "Don't worry, guys, we don't need Glubrick." And he's going to turn into Glubrick and be like, "I could be Glubrick. I could be the new Glubrick. We don't need him. Let him distract them. Let them put all their focus on him."
No, we've got to save Glubrick. He's one of us.
I love that that's Doppelganger's turn. Pretend to be someone else. Let him die.
If you care about the Happy Boys, then you got to sacrifice something. Why don't you go and be a shield? Act like a human shield.
Okay.
I think he just genuinely doesn't understand what it is to be a, like, part of a team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he just listens and goes, okay. And then he starts slowly making his way up to the top.
Well done.
Is he going to be a human shield? Do you think?
He's made his way up there. Well, let's work out.
Let's figure out when it comes around to Glubrick's turn. Yeah, great.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm going to look for the source of the tractor beam that is currently affecting Glubrick.
Yeah, you can see it. It is 60 feet away.
And is it coming from a spellcaster or is it coming from a machine?
It's coming from a machine, from the side of a car.
Like a gun turret sticking out the side of a car.
Yeah, if you imagine the car and then the turret has like come out, turned backwards 180 degrees, it's now facing behind and is targeting Glubrick.
We need to take that out.
Okay, well, I think Ghoul is going to try and cast heat metal onto the soul siphon thing, the thing that's hurting Glubrick, and melt it.
Very good.
Right.
Okay, so you can choose a manufactured metal object, which this is, and it glows red hot.
Yeah, I don't know if it melts it, though.
So heat metal is kind of designed to, like, heat up armor and damage a creature inside. However, what I'm going to say is that you can heat up the gun. I'm going to give the gun 20 hit points, all right? And heat metal, it does 2d8 fire damage.
But can I do it at a third level and increase it by 1d8?
Oh, so 3d8.
3d8,
okay,
yeah.
So you might be able to take it out
okay,
of one
so
go.
Roll.
Here we go.
Need
some damage.
Okay, that's a 6. 3... another three.
So that's 12, that's 12 damage. So your little mushroom hands come out and are just like concentrating on like heating up this metal, and the gun gets hot and takes 12 damage, and it starts to crack and it starts to buckle, but it is not destroyed.
Okay.
Allow me, and I will hopefully deliver a coup de grace with firebolt.
Great ranged attack roll.
Well, I have to do the attack roll first, yeah. 24.
24, nice. Yeah, that slams into it. Roll me for damage. You need to do 8 damage.
I do 2d10. 11.
Oh,
yeah.
Damage. And Eric obliterates the soul siphon.
Nice.
And it shatters into hundreds, thousands, millions of pieces.
Cool, I could high-five you, but I won't, because I will die.
You try and take on the Happy Boys, you will lose.
Nice, and I love how Elle shouted that at me. It's become meta. And yet Glubrick is released from the soul siphon.
Oh,
and you feel your the grip on your soul is released.
Oh.
But you're still hanging on to the outside of the car.
Okay, great. As that's happened, I think he suddenly looks up and sees a hand, and it's Doppelganger.
Take my hand!
And takes his hand.
Your Doppelganger is helping Glubrick to climb back onto the top of the roof.
And what tell me about this Gatling gun.
Oh, so the Gatling gun is this is something I forgot to mention, actually. It has a function called suppressive fire. So what it's doing is it's constantly firing, like chatter of gunfire is hitting hard ass the whole time. You don't take any more damage from it, but it means that Henley will be at a disadvantage for any of his car checks going forward, because he's under suppressive fire.
Okay.
Glubrick flies into a rage, and what's he doing in the rage?
I'm going to jump onto the Gatling gun car and pound it, a bit like the Hulk would do.
Oh, you're going to try and do like Hulk in a sort
Hulk
of like
smash.
Final kind of like, battle, yeah, just yeah, ripping
yeah.
stuff off.
Yeah.
Great, okay.
Maybe the Doppelganger can give you a boost.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, he turns into a little like bouncy castle. So he can jump off it. Yeah, yeah,
sure.
Doppelganger technically can't turn into inanimate objects, but I'm going to say
come on.
Yeah, yeah, a little bouncy castle.
Like a round man.
Like Santa with a big
man.
Belly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big jelly belly.
And
so your athletics is actually plus 13, and right. you're getting an assist from Doppelganger.
Great.
Great, so roll me an athletics check with advantage.
Advantage, but I did get an actual one again. This is a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. But no, that would be 32.
Holy shit, oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, so 32, good. Yeah. So you launch from Doppelganger's jelly belly and you fly through the air. Henley, from inside the cab, you see Glubrick just launching in front of Hardass and landing on the car that is firing the Gatling gun.
For the Happy Boy!
Just roll me an unarmed strike, like roll me an attack roll.
27.
Yeah, I'm going to say with your sheer force of strength, you can just rip the Gatling gun straight off the side of the car.
Great.
And you are now hanging off the side of one of the Clay Devil's cars.
Henley will drive the car up next to Old Pepper Crumble's parade float boat thing.
Yeah, nice.
And roll down the window.
Great, yeah, yeah, you do that.
Okay, great. And I shout out to Old Pepper Crumble. Pepper Crumble, remember our deal?
Oh, hey, Henley. Oh, yeah, of course.
We're in this together.
Until we get to the finish line, then it's every mushroom for himself.
Exactly. You distract them, we'll destroy them from behind.
All right, sounds like a plan. Let's do it.
Great, that's all I want to do. I want him to lead the cars away, and then we'll hit them from behind.
Great,
cool.
Nice.
Good.
So, it's now Old Papa Crumble's turn. He hits the gas, full sails erect, and as he flies forward through the Clay Devils, he just starts firing shit tons of cannons out the side, trying to, like, take the Clay Devils out, and he rolls a 2, so every single one misses. And
okay, as long as the focus is on him.
Yeah, yeah, and, in order to draw focus, I'm going to have them roll a performance check with advantage. Got 19 and a natural one. So yeah, the Sailor Boys go into, with their 19, go into a full musical number insulting Commander Girl and the Clay Devils in order to enrage the Clay Devils. And you see the Clay Devils, all of their machines and all of their guns lock on to Old Papa Crumble.
Great.
It is now the Clay Devil's turn. So two things happen to Old Papa Crumble. Two of the Clay Devil's little war riders fire two harpoons, like what you guys had, into the side of Old Papa Crumble, and they start pulling the brakes and start slowing him down. And the other one, you see, like, two of the Clay Devil cars, they look like they slam together like a transformer, and they form a huge cannon, and it starts to, like, rev up. And it starts unleashing a massive barrage of hellish laser fire at Papa Crumble. And as it hits the area in front of Papa Crumble, it starts to create a rift in reality. And they are hitting him with a chaos cannon. So they are like slowing him down and trying to essentially drag him into a black hole. And Papa Crumble takes a hefty amount of damage. But the Sailor Boys are still in full sog. They're still going.
Great. And now it's our turn again?
Yes, it is your turn. But just before that happens, a huge shadow is cast over the canyon for a second as the purple worm slithers over the top of you. And you see it work its way round Sansuri's leg all the way up. And it drives its jaws straight into his neck and takes a huge chunk out of him. And it starts showering, like raining. Colossus blood is like raining down.
Wow.
And Commander Girl is absolutely smashing the shit out of him. He's starting to lose this fight, but it is your turn.
Kind of cool she's winning there. Yeah. What do you mean?
Okay, so I'm going to try and drive over to the car that Glubrick's on and get him back.
Yeah, great. Romeo, car check.
23.
23, yep. You beat the 16 needed and you whiz over to Glubrick.
Glubrick, jump aboard!
Well, dudes! And then, I don't know, I do that.
Excellent. That's great. So yeah, as Henley scores so high, you can just do that. You don't need to roll a check for me. And are you sort of, are you doing anything or are you holding your turn?
I'm going to hold my turn for now.
Okay,
but Doppelganger does come over, and like he helped with the bouncy castle thing, he's going to turn into a mat so he can land onto a mat.
Nice, nice. Yeah, very good.
I know he can't do any of these.
He can't turn into, but he can turn into a man called Matt.
Yeah, and he lays on the floor.
Yeah. That's really nice. Yeah.
So then Henley just guns it away, and we abandon Papa Crumble to his fate.
Oh!
Henley shouts out the window, so
every mushroom for himself!
Oh my days. Oh,
wow.
Told you we'd betray that guy.
And gonna overtake him.
I'm gonna leave them distracted by old Papa Crumble, and I'm gonna go for the finish line.
We have to.
We have Captain Pelly's coin, so I don't feel too bad about it.
Papa Crumble can handle himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a very, very tough character.
Whatever makes you guys feel better about betraying one of the nicest characters in the whole story.
Look, I said I was going to betray him. I had to do it.
That's true. Yeah, very true. So, with the most of the Clay Devils distracted and Papa Crumble under intense fire, you whiz past them and you just catch a little glimpse of a wonderful harmony as you fly past the pirate ship. However, you're not completely clear yet. There are still some Clay Devils that are pursuing Hard-Assed.
Okay, I'm going to cast Minor Illusion and create a sound.
Okay.
Which can be as loud as a scream. And so I'm going to scream the voice of Commander Girl to them, saying,
"Turn around and help me, you fools!"
Ah, nice. Okay, wonderful. Roll me a performance check with advantage.
Natural 20.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Do you know what? Nice. I'm going to say they fail that investigation check. They just fully believe that Commander Girl has called out to them. So yeah, they slam on the brakes and their guns go skyward and they start targeting the Colossus and just start unleashing bullets at the Colossus.
Can Ghoul try and cast Speak with Animals on the worm and try and get it to stop helping Commander Girl?
That's a tough one because technically I don't think you can, but this is quite fun. So I'm going to say it can hear you, but it can't talk back because it doesn't speak any languages.
Yeah.
And technically it's a monstrosity and not an animal, but this is quite fun.
Okay. Ghoul climbs up onto the tower of the car and just screams as loud as he can. Worm, hear me. I have but a small favor to ask you. You are being used. Turn your back on this monster, and we shall grant you a boon.
And roll me a persuasion check.
It's a 10. Dave.
It's a 10. That is a real 50-50. So, from what you can tell, nothing happens at the moment. The worm does carry on attacking the Colossus, but there is a brief pause where it seems to cock its head to listen, and then it carries on.
Well, I tried. I was just going to ask how far up the mountain we are now, and like, what's the...
I'd say you're probably about 3/4 of the way up, whizzing up the arm.
Nice.
Approaching the nose. That is okay, the finish line. Cool. And Glubrick is on the outside of the car. Mm-hmm. And can you roll me a perception check?
9.
Okay, so what you see is you feel the ground tremor and you see a huge swirling vortex of sand whips up behind you and it is hurtling closer. You can't see what's causing the vortex. You can't see what's inside the vortex, but you can just see this huge sandstorm coming for you.
Guys, angry sand.
Oh.
The sandstorm smashes into hard arst. And you guys take another 16 damage. So you are down to 18 HP on the car, and out of the vortex bursts the most horrifying sight. Huge mutant hamsters riding in a massive hamster wheel. Deformed bodies, and they're rabid, and they're just ramming hard-assed. And they, you notice that their veins are bursting out of their mutant bodies, and their veins are running with electric pink blood.
Hey guys, did you know that these hamsters can fit through the space of a biro?
I'm not sure these ones could anymore.
What has she done to them?
Right, I'm gonna run up and try and is it touching the back of the car?
Yeah, it's like smashing into the car.
I'm
trying
just
to
gonna
knock
try
you
and push it.
You're gonna try and push?
Well, I guess so. Yeah. Just try and, I'm gonna try and kick it. I'm gonna turn to Doppelganger as Glubrick and be like, okay, right, ready for a combo move? And he's like, oh yeah, love a combo. And then Doppelganger is going to swing Glubrick by the arms and he's going to kick the hamster wheel.
So the Doppelganger is going to like swing Glubrick around and he's just going to like release him to try and like drop kick the hamster wheel to try and slow it down. Yeah, that's quite fun. Yeah, why not? So roll me a unarmed attack roll.
22,
nice. And have the Doppelganger roll me a straight strength check.
15.
Yeah, he does enough. So you smash into the hamster wheel. You knock it back and Doppelganger manages to hold on to you so you don't come flying off the car. And you sort of drop kick the hamster wheel. You knock it back like 10 feet and it's no longer slamming into Richard the Fast. But to your alarm, behind the already giant mutant hamster wheel, two more emerge and overtake it and are coming for hard-assed.
I'm going to climb up out of the turret and get onto the top of the car and move down towards the back of the car to face these three hamster wheels.
Okay, yeah, that happens.
And I scream, "Hear me, hamsters, mutated beasts, I know thy weakness!" And I hold up my cat.
Yeah!
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah. Intimidate them with a cat.
Intimidate them with a small tabby cat. This is like a bit docile that's come out of the toad bag.
Napping in the toad bag.
Okay. Roll me an intimidation check with advantage.
Okay.
Yeah.
16.
Yeah. I'm going to say that the hamsters are now suffering from the condition, the D&D condition of frightened.
Yes.
Which means that they have disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls, and they cannot willingly move closer to the source of their fear, which is
a small cat.
yeah, they are terrified of the cat. They are keeping up with you, but they're being held at bay by the cat.
Okay, so we just need to pull away now.
Yeah.
Orange is already in speed. I'm just going to floor it and try and speed up however I can.
So you're just gunning towards the finish line.
Maybe we need to get rid of things so we go faster.
Oh, yeah. Can we dump some stuff?
Chairs. Start dumping stuff.
Dump the harpoon gun and any armor we have. Let's chuck it all to speed up.
The bar.
The bar.
Get rid of the bar.
Get rid of the cocktail support. Bar. Yeah.
The buffet. Yeah. The buffet's gone.
Massage table. Seafood buffet,
buffet
out the back.
Yeah.
Does that increase our speed?
Yeah, I'm going to say it does. Yeah. So you're dumping stuff. It's high risk because, you know, you don't know if you're going to get attacked again.
All we got to do is get over that finish line.
Yeah. And you can see the finish line. You can see the Countess's nose.
We have to drive up the bridge of her nose or something.
I think
like
so.
Get to the point between her eyes. That's
avoid the nostrils at all.
Yeah.
I don't want to get stuck in.
And so as you thunder towards the finish line, the racetrack winds around her head and you zip up her nose towards the bridge where the eyes are. And that's where the finish line is. And you notice there's three things. The first thing is an almighty infernal explosion from behind you. The sound of discordant Broadway musical numbers, the sound of cannon fire, the sound of Lemieux screaming, and you have no idea if that's a good or bad sound, and the music falls silent.
I feel bad.
The second thing you notice is the fight rages on overhead. Commander Girl and the worm gaining the upper hand on Sansuri. And the third thing you notice as you round the final bend and you're thundering towards the finish line, and you can tell that it's the finish line because you see the Maze Master dressed in a glittery black and white checkered suit.
Yay.
And they're waving themselves like a flag and adrenaline rushes through your body and you approach the finish line. The Maze Master's eye is drawn skyward. And the Maze Master says, "Oh, sorry, folks. Gotta go." And they instantly disappear. And less than a second later, Sansuri comes crashing down onto the finish line.
Oh. Break, break, break.
His face is battered and broken and covered in deep wounds. The hamsters, all the racers, all the anyone that's like approaching the finish line all just screech to a halt. And you see the tiny figure of Commander Girl tearing in from the skies, and she slams into Sansuri's chest and pins him to the ground. She raises one hand to the sky, and for the first time since being on this layer, darkness falls, and the entire sky turns black. The clouds loom over the body, and pink bolts of lightning start to crackle within the clouds, and she screams, slams her fist down into Sansuri's chest. The sky breaks. A huge streak of pink lightning follows her fist and drives straight into the Colossus's chest. And you see all the life start to leave him. And with his last act, he reaches out his hand. He strokes the petrified cheek of his mother. And he says,
"Sorry, Mother. I tried."
And he falls limp. Commander Girl is standing atop the giant's body, breathing hard. She collapses to her knees. The sky is clear. And you can see she is crying.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
So we can't get to the finish line
now. She's,
the giant is laying on the finish line.
I'm going to go over to Commander Girl. I stand with her in her grief. All my life I thought I was evil. Until I came to hell. Now, I'm not so certain.
I didn't have a choice. I never had a choice.
I give her a handkerchief.
Oh.
She sort of frowns at you. She doesn't quite know what to do. She kind of shakes her head. And she looks you in the eye and she looks at the handkerchief and she takes it and she uses it to wipe the tears from her eyes and she just says,
"Thank you. I didn't want to kill him. I didn't want any of this, but my father's the god of hell. He wants me to be evil."
"But what do you want, Commander Girl?"
"I just want to be free of him."
"Commander Girl, if you had the option to turn away from this life, would you take it?"
"Yeah, but there's no option. There's no way."
"We can give you that option."
"How?"
"Sweet Face the Baby Devourer."
And then Doppelganger instantly turns into Commander Girl.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, right.
We can... if you let Sweet Face take your place as the lord of this lair of hell, no one would know. Your father would never know. You can live a normal life doing whatever you want to do.
This is Dave clarifying. You're asking Sweet Face to pretend to be Commander Girl so you can free her.
Yeah.
Sweet Face, you can be secretly an arch devil of hell. You can have all the faces you want.
He's getting exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not learned from his mistake. He's learned how to be a part of a team now, I guess.
Yeah, he's come a long way.
I'm up for this. I want to keep this guy in hell. Okay,
quick question.
Great.
Are the hamsters still coming at us, by the way?
Yeah, the hamsters arrive and they see, you know, they're rabid and they're gunning for Henley. And they see the kind of emotional outpouring from you guys. They see the dead Colossus. They see the emotional outpouring from Commander Girl. And even in their mutant rage, they just sort of stop.
They're reading the room.
Yeah, they're really reading the room. Yeah. They're slightly kind of awkwardly. They get out of their little hamster wheels and they just put a little paw to their chest and bow their heads in respect to the dead Colossus. And Commander Girl looks to the four of you.
"Why would you help me?"
"We all have father issues. None of us can really get away from them.
People always told me that I was weak and that I was the loser, so I acted that way. But you don't have to be what people say. You just have to do what you want to do. And now I'm a happy boy.
Okay. I think...
And she turns to the doppelganger.
Mm-hmm. I need your answer.
I think this could actually work.
Mm-hmm. Doppelganger, can we trust you to be a good ruler of this lair, to change things here, to...
I will change things.
Maybe...
I will definitely. There will be a new rule.
Maybe make it slightly less terrible and...
It's not going to be terrible.
You can create peace between the, you know, the Lemures that wanted to reinstate their leader and end these awful races that claim so many lives.
Okay, I can stop the races. Okay, yeah. This is really working out, gang.
And Commander Girl smiles. And
so, Commander Girl, what's the plan? What do you want? What are you going to do?
Well, now she turns to Doppelganger and she just says,
"Give me your hand."
Oh my God.
And Doppelganger places his hand in Commander Girl's hand, and wings sprout from her back, and you see her in this magnificent devil form. Wow. And again, the skies turn pink, and these lightning bolts strike down and hit the Doppelganger. And you see this almighty transfer of energy, where all of her arcane and archdevil powers, everything that's granted to her by being the archdevil of the lair, transfers into Sweetface the Baby Devourer.
Wow.
And her wings go, and her armor, the soul coins fall off, and she's just like a regular teenage girl. And she turns to you, Sweetface.
I guess you're in charge now.
And I turn into Commander Girl, and I scream, "Imprison them all!" No, I'm joking, I don't do that. Yeah, great. And I...
And
open the portal.
So, Commander Girl walks off into the sunset or to the horizon.
Wait, but wait.
Before she goes.
You will need something to remind you every day of kindness. You will need something to care for. And I give her together the cat.
Oh, wow.
She has something to look after.
Oh, that's
so nice.
And yeah, she just sort of like nods it and she's like,
"Come on together."
And then, like, you just see a little silhouette of them walking off into the sunset. And, just before she goes, she turns back and she just says,
"Thanks, happy boys. I owe you one."
And then walks off.
I wanted a hawk anyway.
Summon another familiar.
Yeah.
You can call it together again.
Yeah. Very good.
Very good.
Well, Doppelganger, may we... Would you mind opening the portal for us?
I guess so. He set up a banquet, by the way. He's already having a meal. Like, he's just...
Oh, faces?
Yeah. No, he doesn't eat faces.
Okay,
no,
sorry.
It's ham. But he's set up
the
a
most face-like
him.
Meal.
Him, and he's just like, yeah, really loving his life.
Gosh.
He goes, "Oh, yes, portal," and clicks.
Now, Chris, as the doppelganger and the archdevil, and the rules that we've set up is that you kind of either need to defeat the archdevil or the archdevil needs to give you permission to go through the portal. You now have the power to decide whether or not the happy boys go through the portal. Now, if you decide for them not to, I'm going to hand the podcast over to you.
Which we, none of
high
us.
Stakes. High stakes.
None of us want that. No, I think he's going to let them through. He's screwed up in the head, but like he's still honourable.
So sure. Okay, so he opens the portal for the happy boys.
Yes, please, open the portal!
And the portal opens.
Oh my God, the next layer. Well, I guess this is it. Thank you, sweet face.
Thank you for everything.
For most things. I wouldn't say everything.
Why? And then you see the mountain start to turn into a giant Henley face.
For my wife. I should hand this to you, and he hands you divorce papers.
Oh.
He's like, "It's just not going to work out. There only is one leader in this lair."
Well, fair enough.
But I'll always remember my wife.
Okay, my solicitor will be in contact. Henley jumps through the portal.
Yes, let's get out of here whilst we still can.
Okay, so Ghoul picks up Kelvis, turns his head up to Glubrick and says, "Together?
Together.
One, two, three, four.
And jumps through.
As you jump through the portal to the seventh layer of hell, you see the hamsters, no longer mutant hamsters, furiously scurrying towards the portal.
Oh, God.
And as the portal starts to shut, you can't be sure, but you are almost certain that you can hear the faint sound of a rousing Broadway musical number in the distance.
Oh.
And the portal snaps shut.
Papa.
And the Happy Boys are on their way to the seventh layer of hell. Thank you for listening to episode 28 of Hell or High Rollers. My name is Dave Hearn, and I am your games master. Ellie Morris was playing Ghoul, Chris Leesk as Gluebrick, Henry Shields as Henley Whispers, and the wonderful Adam Megiddo as Eric Sanguinius. And finally, but by no means least, I must extend a 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, agree, she did a fantastic job. So if you're listening to this, wherever you are, stand up and give her a round. Will Commander Girl be back helping out the Happy Boys? Have they made an ally? Who knows? You'll have to stay tuned and listen in. As usual, if you have enjoyed this episode and you're this far in and you haven't left a review, please do leave one. It really helps us draw in the newcomers. Now, for more content, including an entire side campaign run by Henry Shields and lots of extra delicious content, including a peek behind the curtain at how I run each episode, head on over to our Patreon and sign up. The link can be found in the episode description. And while you're on the Patreon, you can do fun things like join our Discord. And there, you can meet absolute legends. Legends like Cassie Bennett-Jones, Thomas Hansen, Junkstuff, Chiron, Magic Yaron, probably related to Chiron, Samuel, Nathaniel Duffy, Blair Baker, Don Quedick, and Charles Parry. Parry Riposte. Your move, Charles. Also, if you haven't already, follow us on Instagram at Hell or High Rollers and Twitter at Hell or High Pod. I'm sure there are other social media platforms we're on. Google it, find them, say hello. We'd love to hear from you. The show is produced by the wonderful Gareth Tempest, and the title song is by my good friend Max Runner. When you get through 9 layers of hell, you'll have a headless way to tell. Go ahead, back to life.
Never meant to lose you in the tunnel. I only meant to cause you pain. I only wanted one time to kill a giant.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.